Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we have open lines for you right now, 1-800-677-9377. This is your invitation to hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. If you have a Bible question, especially on this these last couple of days of the study of the book of Revelation, or if you have some nagging, lingering personal issue you'd like to discuss, what we have open lines for you right now. 1-800-677-9377. As I said, now in the final couple of days of our study of the book of Revelation, and Bob Christopher, it's winding down, and it is really exciting.
It is exciting. We get to kind of the end of all things, I guess the beginning of the new things. And that's what the Bible has been talking about from start to finish, that there will be a day when all things will be restored and even better than what they were at the get-go. You know, when God spoke and things came into being, then sin subjected all things to death and decay. And that's what we've experienced in this world for these many thousand years. But when Jesus comes, he's going to burn the old heaven, the old earth, and out of that is going to come a new heaven and a new earth. I think sometimes we think, you know, the burning, it's just going to destroy the earth completely, and then he's going to speak a new one into existence. I don't necessarily read the word in that way. I see the fire of you know, filtering out all the evil stuff and just bringing out the good that God had created to begin with. But that's just, you know, that's an opinion. It's a hot sports opinion today on radio. So, but the fact of the matter, it says that we see a new heaven, or that John saw a new heaven and a new earth. The old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. The sea was gone. Then this is, to me, the most exciting part. And this is sometimes what we miss in our gospel understanding. We're looking for a place to be. We want to go to heaven when we die. We want to walk the streets of gold. We want to have our own mansions and all of those sort of things. We're looking for a place. But that's not what the gospel story is. It's about reconnecting us with God, being in his presence, he being in our presence. And here in this chapter, we see that happening. Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. And here's the exciting promise, that God will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. All these things will be gone forever. Why? Because we're in the presence of God. Sin and death have been conquered. They have been sent away. All we will experience from that point forward is the joy of the Lord, the love of the Lord, the grace, the mercy, the tenderness, the kindness of our Lord and God. That's what we're going to experience. And in light of that, there will be no more suffering. There will be no more pain. There will be no more tears. Why? Because the longing of our hearts has been fully met by being in his presence and him being in ours. That's the good news. And he goes on to describe where this is, and he calls it the New Jerusalem. And we see this New Jerusalem descending down from God, so from the heavens, to take up its place on earth. This wonderful prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And it's kind of this intersection of heaven and earth. What may it be done on earth as it is in heaven? Well, we see that happening right here, the fulfillment of that, this New Jerusalem coming down, the bride of Christ. That's what this New Jerusalem is, and its inhabitants are us. We make up this New Jerusalem. The light of this city is God himself. And it's just going to be a marvelous, marvelous place.
Absolutely. This is Basic Gospel, plenty of open lines. As a matter of fact, all the lines are available right now. Call quickly, your best opportunity today to get through and speak with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, 1-800-677-9377. Give us a call, friends, if you have something you'd like to discuss. This is your best opportunity. And Bob and Richard, we were delighted earlier today when one of our members of the board of our directors stepped up and gave a challenge gift of $10,000 to the ministry. And so we were just absolutely kind of blown away by this. And what we'd like to do is suggest that our listeners come forward and match this over the next couple of days. So if you can do that, we would really appreciate your coming on online at basicgospel.net or calling 1-800-727-2828. A gift of any amount, friends, is going to help as we go forward. We really need your help right now today. If you can make that call, do it right now. 1-800-727-2828. A gift of any amount will get you a copy of the booklet, Our Guaranteed Future. A gift of $50 or more. And if you can make it even more than that to help match this $10,000 gift from the member of our board of directors, why, that would be very, very welcome as well. And we'll send you Richard Piper's series on the Revelation. Revelation, it's no mystery. So basicgospel.net or 1-800-727-2828 to make the donation of your choice.
Yeah, just 200 people giving $50, that gift is matched. Or 1,000 people giving $10, 500 people giving $20. So we just see it takes a little bit from a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so we're challenging a lot of people to step up to the plate and join this gentleman in his generosity. And let's leverage this. This is an opportunity. If you give 20, it's like giving 40. If you give 50, it's like giving 100. It's a wonderful opportunity to support this ministry, to make an investment in the gospel message. The gospel message has the power to change lives, the power to give life, the power to take away sins. That's what this gospel message is all about. So we're asking you to invest in that. And again, 200 people giving $50, it's matched. So let's do that. If that's tugging at your heart, pick up the phone right now.
Right.
Call 1-800-727-2828. Talk with Billy. Talk to Jeannie. Talk to any one of our staff members and let them know that you want to be a part of this challenge gift.
That'd be exciting.
So grateful for this opportunity to meet this and see the message continue to go out and connect many more listeners to the love of Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Our phone's beginning to light up, so Bob, let's go to him, I guess.
Let's do. Let's talk to Rodney in New Orleans, listening to us on WLNO. Hi, Rodney.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
Doing fine. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much for taking my call.
You are welcome. How can we help you today?
I have a problem, and the problem is that I hear so many preachers and pastors and teachers and evangelists keep saying about the heart. The Bible talks about the heart.
Mentions it about 900 times in the Scripture.
You're right. Maybe more. My problem I have is I talked to a cardiologist, and I was asking him about the heart. And he says, well, the terminology heart means a pump between your chest, that's a pump, or a muscle. And I said, I wonder if that also means when Jesus Christ says your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, I wonder if that's the heart he's talking about, the one that's between your chest, because I see a lot of pastors pointing to this heart right here. Could you help me with that?
Well, when it's talked about in the Bible, it's not talking about that muscle that pumps blood through our bodies. It's symbolic, but heart really is the centerpiece, the seedbed of our affections. You know, where do our affections lean? That's what it's talking about. So when it says our hearts are deceitful and beyond cure, it means that our hearts are kind of connected to the things of this world and not the things of God. That's why we need a circumcision of the heart, and that's what takes place at salvation. I love how Paul put it in his letter to the Colossians, that we have been circumcised, not a circumcision done by hand, but by the Spirit of God on our hearts. So it enables our hearts to start leaning toward God, to be inclined toward Him. Our heart is kind of the place of worship. And that's what we've talked about a lot in the book of Revelation. We see this line being drawn, and you're either going to worship the beast or you're going to worship Jesus Christ. Those are the two options. And we come into this world naturally worshiping the beast. Paul wrote about that as well. We're dead in our transgressions and sins. We live to gratify the desires of the flesh. We follow the ways of this world. That's a description of our hearts. But that changes when we come to Jesus Christ. Now our hearts are controlled by the Spirit of God. And so we're interested in what He is all about and who He is and what He's accomplished for us in Jesus Christ. So that's what the heart really is.
Well, it still don't answer my question. You know, I keep hearing what you're saying about the heart, the heart, the heart, the heart, the heart. But most people think that it's this thing between your chest here.
Well, that's what I said. That's not what it is. In the Bible, that's not what it's describing. It's not describing that organ in our chest. What it's describing is how we worship, who we worship. That's what it's describing. And so we naturally worship the things of this world. When we come to Jesus, we get a heart transplant, basically. Mm-hmm. And now we can worship Jesus and all that He's about. That's what the Bible refers to when it speaks to the heart. Now, have you ever come to Jesus by faith?
Oh, I've been a Christian for over 30 years.
Yeah.
The problem, like I said, in fact, I am an evangelist, okay, a teacher of the gospel. I believe I've been with you guys since Bob George.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying is that I just can't seem to get people to understand, because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So how can this heart that's between your chest think?
Well, that's why the heart really makes up kind of our mind, emotions, and will. That's what it really refers to.
Okay. Now I'm starting to understand what you're meaning now. Yeah, because I asked the heart doctor, which is the cardiologist. I says, I know you can take this pump or muscle out of me, and you can put an artificial heart in there, which a lot of people have been done. You know, it's been done to them. But can you take the brain out of a man's head and put a new brain in? He said, that's impossible. And I said, well, that's what I think. That's what I always believed that the heart was. Is the mind, because if the mind is dead, the body's dead. You can have that heart pumping blood, but still and all. And he says, I think you got it. I said, well, okay, I'm going to call this guy on the radio. I'm going to find out. Because I believe that's what it's always meant, because it's the mind is one of the greatest computer in the world.
Yeah. Well, here's a passage to look at, to mark. It's Deuteronomy 36. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love Him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. So He's certainly not talking about that organ. He's talking about our mind, emotions, and wills. Until we respond to the love of God, our hearts can't really love Him back. And that's what He's talking about here.
Now, that makes a little more sense than what I heard other preachers were saying. It's kind of confusing when they keep pointing to that chest.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
Well, thank you very much, Bob, and God bless you and your staff. And
well, thank you, Rodney. And thanks for your call today. Great question. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this booklet, Our Guaranteed Future, okay?
Thank you, sir. God bless.
You too. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Gloria in El Paso, Texas, listening to us on KELP. Hi, Gloria.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing well. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you.
Excellent. How can we help you?
Well, I was thinking about a verse, and I believe it's Romans 8:28, which states that all things work for the good for those who love God and for those who are called to his purpose. And I just wanted to ask about it because I do understand what it's saying, but my question is, who does it apply to? Does it apply to Christians who are saved, who are renewed in their spirit, or does it only apply to Christians who are fulfilling the will of the Lord? For example, if the Lord is calling someone to be a teacher, a pastor, a lawyer, who does it apply to?
Well, it's pretty clear. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And that expression of faith that we have in Jesus Christ, that reliance upon him for salvation, is a measure of our love given back to God in response to his great love for us. So in essence, all believers fall into this verse. This is a promise to all of God's children. We may not be living out this love for God all the time. We may give in to some of the desires of the flesh, some of the temptations of the world here and there. But at the core of who we are, there's this reliance upon Jesus Christ. Once we're saved, there's never going to be a time where we are not trusting him for that salvation. You know, if at any time somebody came to you in your life, Gloria, and said, what is the basis of your eternal salvation? You would respond, Jesus Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. And I am trusting in him with all my heart for that reality. So that is an expression of your love for God. And so you're going to be within this promise. God is going to work all things together for your good. You can count on it.
Yeah, and that even includes when trials and tests come, whether it be finances or relationships or,
absolutely,
stress and things like that.
Absolutely, yeah. Gloria. That's and he's busily working all the details out for our good. In the midst of those trials and tribulations, we may not be able to see what he's doing. We may not be able to point our fingers and identify the hand of God in a given circumstance. Why? Because we get so focused on the problem that we miss out on what God is doing. But he is working. Why? Because he's a faithful God. When he's promised something, he carries that promise out. And so we know that at a point in time, we're going to see exactly what he did to work this situation out for our good. And at that moment, it's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing. But we can count on the fact that he's already at work.
Yeah.
That's good news, isn't it, Gloria?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Good news, yes. Our Lord is awesome, and, I just sometimes come across verses that I kind of wonder about and I don't quite understand completely where I think I might understand it, but then I'm not sure.
Right. Well, just continue reading through that passage and you're going to see some wonderful things. You know, what then shall we say in response to this? Verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's just an incredible statement.
Amen.
God is for you, Gloria. That's amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And he's for
it is
you.
Amazing.
Yeah, because you belong to him. You were marked. You were sealed by the Holy Spirit. God has claimed you as one of his very own. And so if he's for you, who can be against you? And then he goes on to say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? There's not a single trial or tribulation that you will go through that will separate you from the love of Christ. His love is there being poured out in your life every single second of every single day. That is just incredible. Nothing can separate you from that love. And knowing that really strengthens this promise in your heart and mind. You know that God is going to carry that out, that he will work all things together for your good just because he loves you.
Yes, amen. He's wonderful.
Yes, he is.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, you are so welcome. Thanks for your call today. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this booklet, Our Guaranteed Future, okay? You hang on.
All righty. Thank you guys so much. God bless you.
God bless you as well. Well, a reminder to our listeners again of this $10,000 matching gift. We want to see that matched in the next 2 days. People stepping up, giving gifts of $20, $50, maybe $100, whatever you have that you can give joyfully and cheerfully to support God's work through this ministry. That's what we're asking you to do. There's several ways to contribute. You can go to our website, basicgospel.net, click the support link, make a contribution that way. You can call our order line, 1-800-727-2828. Talk with Billy or Jeannie or anyone else on our staff that picks up the phone. Tell them that you would like to make a contribution to match this gift. They will walk you through the process. Or you can send it to us via mail. And that address is Basic Gospel, 1225 East Rosemead Drive, or East Parkway. Rosemead Parkway. And that's Carrollton, Texas, 75007.
Yeah. Three ways, every one of them a good way.
That's exactly right. Well, let's go to Aaron in Bastrop, Texas, listening to us on KBBW. Hi, Aaron.
How are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Well, good. I got a question. My question is, does the believer have two natures? I read in Paul, when he wrote to Romans in the 6th chapter, that the old man, that Adam nature was crucified with Christ, and I know that. The believer is in Christ, but when I do some readings, when I read some Christian books, I see where some say, you know, that the believer has two natures. I know we have a nature of Christ when because we're in Christ, because we have the indwelling spirit. But can you clarify that for me? Does the believer have two natures? That's what I want to know.
Well, it's a good question, Aaron, and there's certainly great debate about this, and it's not really something that should divide the body. Here's what I think, that we've always, in my mind, we've always just had one nature, and it's human. It's a human nature. That nature was corrupted in the fall, and then that nature was redeemed through Christ. But a part of what was in us always was flesh. That's where sin dwelled. That's where sin had access to that corrupt human nature. That's where sin dominated and controlled and mastered us. But that relationship has now been severed. This new creation that we are is now controlled by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, but we still have that flesh hanging on us, so to speak. Sin is still in that flesh, and it still tries to exert its influence over us, but we don't have to give in to it. Why? Because we've been redeemed. We've been saved. We've been rescued. So that's how I see it, Aaron. Great question today.
That's pretty much how I've seen it too. But I was just, and I realized because we're in Christ, we can say no to sin. That's why I kind of along those same
absolutely.
Lines. I appreciate that. Thanks.
You're welcome, Aaron. Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye. As we mentioned earlier, we were delighted earlier today when a member of our board of directors stepped up and made a special $10,000 challenge gift to the ministry, a significant gift, and we bring it to your attention as a challenge to all of our listener supporters to step up and join this board member at a time when Basic Gospel truly, truly needs your support. You know, we want you as a listener and a supporter to match this gift over the next 2 days. Your generosity is going to help connect a lot of people to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So take the challenge, friends. Go call or go online to accept the challenge and make your most generous donation to support Basic Gospel. And remember, for a gift of any amount for the remainder of today and tomorrow, you'll receive our booklet, Our Guaranteed Future. And for your generous gift of $50 or more, you'll receive both a booklet and our 8-CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery by Richard Piper. Just visit basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828. That's basicgospel.net or 1-800-727-2828 to make the donation of your choice. Until tomorrow, for Bob and Richard and the ministry staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you and have a great afternoon in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.